Well, if you've got a Bible, please have it open at Matthew chapter 2. It's Christmas Day. For most people, it's a day of fun, of food, of family, of TV, and of course, presents. A family day where loved ones gather together to enjoy each other's company, while at the same time also remembering those who are no longer with us. For many, especially for children, this is the second most important day of the year. The most important day of the year for children is, of course, their birthdays, when they are the center of attention. So children, families, they find Christmas a really enjoyable time, but as we prayed earlier, for others it can be a bit of a sad and a lonely day. But whatever your feelings are this morning, the reason that we celebrate Christmas is because of the good life-changing news that it brings. A message of hope for all, regardless of your current circumstances. Because Christmas is all about celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, the one that God sent to save us from the biggest problem that any of us have. We may wrestle with all sorts of difficult things, but there's one problem behind that those problems which causes all the others, and that's having a broken relationship with God and living like we have a broken relationship with God, living as if God doesn't even exist, what the Bible calls living a sinful lifestyle. And every problem in your life and every pain that we see in the world around us, every bit of pain that you feel, all of it traces back to that broken relationship with the true and living God. And God could have left us to our own devices, but he didn't. In his mercy, he sent the Lord Jesus Christ, and his birth is the start of the great work which will make it possible for people to be brought back to the right relationship with God. And once that relationship with God is restored, then it helps with all the difficulties we face, and it gives us a future that is absolutely certain. So this is the reason that we celebrate the good news about Christmas, the birth of Jesus. Yet, when we look in our society around us, we realize that not everyone seems to be bothered with his birth. In fact, the reaction to the birth of Jesus Christ can be a bit like the reaction that we've seen to the last election. For some people, it's the best news in the world. For other people, it's the worst news in the world. Well, for some people, they just don't seem to be bothered at all. Well, where you stand on the matter of the election depends upon your politics and your faith in politicians. How you react to Christmas will depend upon your view of God and whether or not you have any faith in him. The birth of Jesus has always generated a mixed response. And our passage this morning contains four different ways that four groups of people or individuals respond to the birth of Jesus. And it's important that we think about this because I think everyone falls into one of these four categories. And it is important because when we think about the last election, it's possible that some of us might meet Boris Johnson, but probably not. It is 100% certain, whether you believe in him or not, that one day you will meet Jesus Christ. That is as guaranteed as the sun rising tomorrow. And he will be asking you, what did you think about me? Did you believe in me? And how you respond to those questions will be the most important answer that you ever give. So let's think about the different ways that people can respond to Jesus. And the first one that comes out is, of course, King Herod. Herod was at that time the sort of puppet king of the Romans. And when he'd been a younger man, he had been a good and fair and strong ruler. But as he got older, he'd changed. He'd become paranoid. He'd become cruel, and he'd become suspicious of the people around him. He thought everyone was out to get him. He thought they were plotting to kill him. This guy was so paranoid that he executed his wife and several of his sons because he thought they were trying to kill him. He was a nasty piece of work. And when Herod hears about the birth of a new king, all he sees is a rival that has to be snuffed out straight away. And at first, in the first half of Matthew chapter 2, we see he tries a subtle deception. But when that fails, you can read just how nasty he really is as you look down the rest of Matthew chapter 2. Today, there are people like King Herod out there who seem to have an inexplicable hatred of the Lord Jesus Christ and of his followers. And they will do whatever they can to silence Christians. We see this happening overseas with the persecuted church, and sadly, it's coming home to roost today. There's people in our society that hate Christ, that hate God, that hate Christians, and they want to completely silence Christians altogether. And that means that it is possible for us as Christians in our land today to find ourselves in that situation where people are seeking to silence us, maybe even sue us because of our beliefs. If we find ourselves in that situation, the Lord will help us. And we can also remember that the soldier who fights the bravest is the one who receives the medals of honor. Fortunately, such an extreme response is rare. But we do live in a time when most people are like the people of Jerusalem and how they responded to the news of the birth of the king. And they're hardly mentioned in this passage. It's just when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. The arrival of the Magi with all of their assistants and servants, there would have been a lot of them, would have been noticed. It would have been seen. People would have understood that something was going on. But they just don't seem to be bothered. And that's remarkable, because the people of Jerusalem, the people of Judea, they'd been held under the bondage of Rome for many years, and before that the Seleucids, and before that the Greeks, and before that the Persians. They'd been controlled by all these people, and they knew that God was going to send someone to rescue them. Now, they had their ideas that he was going to be a political savior, but they knew they were waiting for someone. But when this remarkable thing happens and these people come in, they just don't seem to be bothered at all. They're not. They're only interested if it's going to directly affect them. So they're disturbed because Herod's disturbed. Because an upset Herod means a hard life for them. But otherwise, they just cannot be bothered. And such apathy is very sad to see. But it's an apathy that we see in our own society all around us. And this, I think, is where most people in our culture is. The majority of people know that Christmas is something about Christianity. They know it's something about Jesus. But they just can't be bothered. They're only going to be interested if it's bad news for them. And this is terrible, because Jesus offers forgiveness from every mistake. He offers freedom from self-destructive addictions. He offers moral, spiritual, and physical help. There's help for every situation. He gives us a reason to live and a guaranteed future. Knowing Jesus literally turns your life around, and it is for the better. But people just can't be bothered. They're caught up living in the moment, only living for today. And they don't think about what they're doing and the moral consequences of that. They don't even believe that what they do is being noticed and is going to be held account. And they certainly don't think about tomorrow. But by doing this, they're missing out on the best news in the world. Just like the people of Jerusalem missed out on worshipping the king that they had been waiting over 1,000 years for. But these were the ordinary people. They were the ignorant people. What about those who really studied the scriptures, those who knew what they were talking about, the religious leaders that Herod calls in to a question? So he calls in the chief priests, he calls in the teachers of the Lord, and these experts must have been very pleased that they were able to answer Herod's question. You can just imagine them being summoned and them thinking, oh no, what does he want now? Am I going to survive this encounter? Then he asked them where the Messiah is going to be born. And could you see, oh, I know this one, Bethlehem. And they must have gone away pleased with themselves. These are the men who were responsible for identifying who the Messiah was going to be. In the Gospels, we see there's all these conversations about who Jesus is, and they sort of reject him quite early on. But their job was to recognize the Messiah and to point the people towards him. They studied the Bible. They studied the law. They knew what it was all about. Yet none of them decided to join with the Magi, with the wise men, and travel to Bethlehem. And that's a real surprise. How far away do you think Jerusalem is to Bethlehem? 5.5 miles. According to ever trusty Google Maps, that's the distance from here to Blackburn Cathedral. That's how close it is. And most of us could walk that distance, couldn't we? And yet none of them went with the Magi. They stayed there in Jerusalem. And this reveals a very uncomfortable truth. It's possible to have all of the facts, to have a perfect knowledge of who God is, of what the Bible teaches, but yet not believe it. This could be someone who is a religious leader in a church, and they know the facts, but they deny the truth. Or it could be someone who's born into a Christian home. They've been brought up going along to church. They know the facts. They know who Jesus is. But they've never turned to Jesus and confessed their sins and put their faith in him. And these people are in the most dangerous position because God is just and fair. And when people appear before him, he will hold them accountable according to the amount that they know. And the more someone knows without believing, the worse the position they will be in. The person who rejects, when they know all of the facts, will be in a far worse place than the person who has never heard the truth. When we know the truth, it's essential that we act upon it. However, in contrast to these three negative responses, we've got the people who responded in the right way, which are, of course, the Magi, the wise men. Now, we believe that these people would have been royal advisors over in where the Persian Empire were. They may have been the descendants of people like Daniel, who never returned back to the land of Judah, people who had served high up in the Babylonian and Persian hierarchies. They would have been people who would have known parts of the Old Testament. They certainly would have known the prophecies that had been given to Daniel that speak of a Messiah that was going to be born. These men were the great minds of their times, and they had all the available knowledge at their fingertips. They were people who watched the stars in a time when astronomy and astrology were still a single subject. Men who were expecting a great king to be born, who were wise enough to know that when a great star appeared pointing towards Jerusalem, the long-awaited king had arrived. Was it a comet? Was it a supernova? Was it the manifestation of an angel? We don't know. But we do know that God had ordained it and perfectly timed it to lead these people to the place where the king of the world was born. And these men were willing to leave their homes behind and cross hundreds of miles of wilderness where there was a lack of water, a lack of food, where there were bandits, taking all sorts of risks in order to honor the Lord Jesus. For them, it was quite natural for them to approach King Herod when they got to Jerusalem. You'd expect a king to be born in a palace. And Bethlehem is right next door to Jerusalem. They're really close. But when they got there, they found out that God works in an amazing way. And the baby had been born in a stable to a working class family. And it may now be about 2 years later, so the family are living in a house in Bethlehem. So sadly, the Magi never did turn up at the stable, despite what the nativities tell us. But when they did find Jesus, they presented him with those free gifts. There may have been a lot more than free Magi, but there were free gifts. Gifts that were fitting for a king: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. At this point, it's worth asking, why did they go to all of this trouble? A 2-year-old baby with working class presents is not going to be able to pay these men back for their kindness. But materially, the Magi knew that they had done the right thing. And it's fair to presume that men who had gone to such great lengths to honor the King of Kings would have then been honored by God Almighty. The Lord always honors those who serve him. And that's a helpful aside for us, because often when we serve the Lord, we may feel that we're not noticed or appreciated. But the Lord Jesus sees everything. He keeps a record of everything. And he will tell his servants, well done, good and faithful servant, on the day that we see him. Our service for the Lord today is motivated by our love for him. The service of the Magi was motivated by a desire to honor God. And while we should not expect a reward, we know that God is generous. So on this Christmas morning, we've got four sorts of people. Who are we like? I don't think there's going to be any King Herods here this morning. People who are out to silence Christianity. It would be quite strange for you to come along to a church on Christmas Day morning. But you never know. But I'm sure every so often we've come across people like that. That opinionated person in the corner of the pub. That highbrow person at work. That person who knows it all. Who is into all this philosophy and they just want to silence Christianity, seeing it as dangerous. However, there may be some people who are a bit like the people of Jerusalem, who are not really that interested, but they've come along this morning because of family commitments or because they want to come to church on a Christmas morning and sing some carols. I also expect there may be some people who are like the chief priests and the scribes who know it all, but don't really believe. Well, as I look out this morning, I think there's plenty of wise men and wise women. Magi, those who have trusted in Jesus and now seek to live lives of service. So if that's you, a word of encouragement, keep on going. Keep on seeking after Jesus. Keep on following him and finding out more about who he is, what he has done, and what it means for you. But if you are someone who knows the facts, but have not trusted in him yet, then respond to what you know. Don't just sit on it. And it may be that you feel that you've done it a long time ago in the past and you've grown out of it. Well, if that's you, then that's just a sign that you haven't really made a full commitment and you need to follow him once again today. If you truly know Jesus, he will change your life. He will give you a purpose and a reason for living. He will give you forgiveness and he will give you freedom. If you're someone who's in that other group of people who's just part of the crowd, who don't really think about it much and are only interested when it affects you, if you adopt that approach to the Lord Jesus, you're really in trouble because you'll only realize that it's going to affect you when you stand in front of him. And then it's too late. You need to be someone who seeks out Jesus today. Someone who goes looking for him. Because how you react to the Lord Jesus is the most important thing that you will ever do in your life. So if you're someone who doesn't know much, then please come and have a chat to me or chat to whoever you came with. And they'd be delighted to tell you more about him. More about the one who is the reason for Christmas. And if you turn to him and trust in him, you will realize and understand why Jesus is the best Christmas present ever. Let's pray.